हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरुपरंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम भद्रं कन्ने भिश्रुनुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्ये माक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वि विल् एण्टर् इन् टु द टेक्स्ट् फ्रम् वेर् वि लेफ्ट् ओन्ली आफ्टर् seeing few more things of the Sambandha Bhashyam. Because Sambandha Bhashyam, the introductory Bhashyam itself, presents the whole teaching in a nutshell. So we saw yesterday how Shankara Bhagavatpada first discusses the topic of Anubandha Chatushtayam, introducing the first aspect, prayojanam, the benefit of knowledge, and then the subject matter of knowledge, the second aspect. By way of discussing these two aspects itself, he covered the other aspects also. That is, between text and the subject matter, there is pratipadaka pratipadya sambandha, the revealer revealed connection. The text does reveal the teaching subject matter, which we discussed. And the knowledge of subject matter does result in the vision of the truth, which itself is mokshaha. Therefore, between the knowledge of subject matter and the moksha, there is sadhana sadhya sambandha. All these connections are also indirectly revealed. Not directly, implicitly mentioned, but they become revealed. We have seen those two aspects. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada, having discussed these two important aspects of Anubandha Chatushtayam, in terms of the benefit and subject matter, he also, the next topic what he discussed was, he also discussed the specific content of specific content, the main content of main subject matter of the entire Prakarana Grantha being Brahma, the non-dual reality. Then he also discussed the specific subject matter content of each chapter also. This is the fourth aspect we saw. Then again, having already discussed the specific subject matter, the content of each chapter, he also again presents the introduction to the first chapter in the Sambandha Bhashyam. Introduction to the Agama Prakaranam, wherein he introduces the first mantra, Omit Yadaksharam Idam Sarvam. Okay, we have to see that. And Swamiji wanted to know the page number. In Panoli's book, page number 301. If you go to second paragraph, Tatra Tavadeva, Tatra Tavade, Omkara Nirnayaya, Prathamam Prakaranam Agama Pradhanam, that portion, okay? In page 301, the Bhashyam, you have that portion where Gaudapada Acharya, after the briefly discussing the subject matter of each chapter also, he again introduces the first chapter with the introduction of the first mantra of the first chapter, which I have to cover so that we have thorough understanding of the Sambandha Bhashyam, contents of subject, Sambandha Bhashyam. Okay. So, here, it is in this first chapter called Agama Prakaranam. Om. The Pranavaha. Omkaraha. When say Om, itself is said to be Omkaraha. Omkaraha, otherwise said to be Pranavaha, is introduced. The first chapter. If you take the whole Upanishad, the mantra, Upanishad contains 12 mantras. The first mantra introduces Omkaraha. Then second mantra introduces the Atma. Atma as the, as Chatushpad, Chatushpad Atma. Introduction of Omkaraha and Atma are done in the first and second chapters of the Upanishad mantras. First two verses, mantras. Then, the third mantra onwards, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, five mantras, third to the seventh, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, five mantras, elaborately discuss the Atma, Atma Swarupam. So, enquiry into the nature of the Atma is discussed, presented in these five mantras from the third to the seventh. Then later, from the eighth mantra to the 12th mantra. That's all, Upanishad is over. The rest of the five mantras, which is eighth to the 12th. In those mantras, Omkaraha is analyzed. Analysis of Omkaraha, enquiry into the meaning of the word Om is presented in this later five verses, 8th to the 12th mantras. This is how the whole Upanishad presents the teaching, which means there's nothing other than inquiry into the nature of the self and the inquiry into the meaning of the word Om, which means there is simultaneous inquiry into the meaning of the word Om and inquiry into the nature of the Atma. Okay, this is the subject matter here. And here, Omkaraha is analyzed. What is the purpose of analyzing Omkaraha? that is discussed in the Bhashyam here. Onkara Nirnayaya Prathamam Prakaram Agama Prakaranam. The first chapter itself is for analyzing the Omkaraha, and the analysis of Omkaraha is to discover the nature of the Atma. So inquiry into the meaning of the word Om is actually for arriving at the Swarupam of the Self, the truth of the universe, obtaining as one's own self. The purpose is made very clear here. So, the next question comes, if Omkaraha, what is Omkaraha? It is just a monosyllabic expression consisting of three sounds, akara, ukara, makaraha. Whereas Atma or Brahma, these two words, imply the very reality of the universe, obtaining as a truth of everyone, every individual, is implied with Atma or Brahma in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness and limitlessness. So if Brahma stands for the reality, Om is the single syllable, monosyllabic word, how can analysis of Omkara will bless us with the knowledge of the truth, the Atma? That's the first question make me arise. That's why Shankara Bhagavatpada gives answer. In this particular portion. So, Omkaraha actually is an extracted word. See, though it's a single syllable, an extracted word from the Veda Shastram. And there, each sound is loaded. Each sound is what means akara is loaded, ukara is loaded, and makara is also loaded. So, Om, when you say, Om is a pranavaha. Navaha, this I explained last time also, still again repeat it. Navaha, dental nakara. Okay, navaha means a name. Any one word can denote only one given object. Mic, if I say, the word mic cannot reveal any other object except the mic. Phone can reveal only the object called phone. Window can reveal only the window. One word denotes its respective meaning, the object. The word door denotes a given form of a given object serving a given purpose. It can't denote anything else. So every word has its limitation of revealing, denoting a given form of an object serving a given purpose. Whereas such name, such word is called Navaha. Whereas Pra, when you add Pra, then dental Nakara becomes cerebral Nakara. Pranavaha. It's a unique name. Om is a Pranavaha. Means Om is a unique word. It's a unique name because it refers to all the forms of all the objects serving countless number of purposes. So, samagra, nama, rupa, karma, prapanchaha. It stands for the whole. Om stands for the whole. That's why Any object, every object can be denoted by one word, Om. You can, what is this? You can say mic, you can say Om. You will go mad, you know. What is this? Om. That is Om. That is Om. This is Om. You Om. I Om. There's nothing, everything, all that is here is Om. So Om, Om, Om. Means we must know what Om is to understand how Om can be the only name of everything here. Isn't it? So this is Om, Pranavaha, unique name. And here again, we say, the Om serves as a means of arriving at the nature of the reality, Brahma. Therefore, Om stands as a symbol for both Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara, and also Nirgunam Brahma. Is an alambanam. Omkara is an alambanam, a symbol for meditating upon Sagunam Brahma. Omkara is also an alambanam for contemplation upon the attributeless reality, Nirgunam Brahma. It stands for both. So, for understanding Sagunam Brahma, it serves as a means. For understanding Nirgunam Brahma, it serves as a means. It stands as an alambanam, a symbol to meditate upon Sagunam Brahma, to contemplate upon Nirgunam Brahma. So, Om. So here, Omkaraha, we can say, this Om is a, Om consists of three sounds. We are going to see later on in the textbook. Stands for all the worlds. So, Akaraha stands for the gross manifestation. Gross universe, the world of gross objects experienced in the waking state. So, knower experiencer obtaining in the waking state known as Vishvaha, is known as Vishvaha. And the known objective universe, gross universe, experienced in the waking state. Okay, we say the Vishvaha and the Virat. Vishvaha and the Virat. Here we say the reality alone is there as Vishvaha the knower. The reality alone is there as the world of gross objects experienced in the waking state. Therefore, there's a pair, knower, known. You mean the only reality identified with, associated with the gross universe experienced the waking state is Virat. The same reality identified with the individual, known as Vishvaha. The Vishvaha and Virat together. Now we say, the Akaraha stands for Vishva and Virat. Akaraha means Vishva and Virat. Means everything of the gross manifestation experienced in the waking state symbolized by Akaraha. One sound. Then we can say Ukaraha stands for the experiencer obtaining the dream state called Taijasaha. And also the same reality, Atma, associated with the dream of world of objects, subtle world of objects, explain the dream state, is called Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. This Taijasaha and Hiranyagarbheshwaraha together are symbolized by Ukaraha. So Ukaraha stands for the entity of the subtle manifestation experienced in the dream. Then Makaraha stands for unmanifested universe, which means the experiencer obtaining in deep sleep state, and the unmanifested, undifferentiated universe experienced in deep sleep state is said to be, we can say, Prajna and Antaryamishwaraha. The same Atma identified with the sleeper experiencer is called Prajna. Obtaining as the experiencer in deep sleep state is called Prajna. And the same Atma identified with the unmanifested, the deep sleep state of the mind is called Antaryamishwaraha. So we say Prajna and Antaryamishwaraha. Antaryamishwaraha stands for the unmanifested, undifferentiated world of forms, names and functions. So this Makaraha stands for unmanifested universe. So gross manifestation, sthula prapancha, subtle manifestation, sukshma prapancha, and avyakta prapancha or karana prapancha, unmanifested, undifferentiated causal universe, symbolized by Makaraha. So in three sounds itself, the entirety of the cosmos is loaded here. There's nothing outside of Om. And here, this, when you utter this expression, Om, Om, so the Akaraha, this short vowel, takes one matra kalaha, one unit of time. Ukaras takes one matra kalaha, one unit of time. So Makaraha, being a single consonant, also takes one unit of time. Om, utterance of Om only takes three units of time. Om, two short vowels, one consonant. Om, Om, Om. When Makara ends, the silence following Makara, before you another Akara begins, before the Om sound, because beginning of the Om sound, after the any Om sound, there's silence in between. That silence symbolizes the nature of consciousness, abstract reality, consciousness. Because being silent is the nature of the reality. So silence symbolizes actionlessness, motionlessness, changelessness of the consciousness, nature of the reality. So silence stands for consciousness, which is Nirgunam Brahma. Okay, here Antaryamishwaraha. So Ukara stands for Prajna Antaryamishwaraha, unmanifested, undifferentiated universe, which is again Sagunam Brahma. You can say Karanam Brahma. Then Ukara stands for Taijasa Hiranyagarbheshwaraha, which symbolizes the subtle manifestation, which is Karyam Brahma number one. And Akara stands for the Vishwaha and Virat, the entire gross manifestation, which is Karyam Brahma number two. So Karanam Brahma, Karyam Brahma one, Karyam Brahma 2. Is it? So all these are loaded in Om. This is Sagunam Brahma. Karanam Brahma is also Sagunam Brahma. Karyam Brahma is also Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means what? With attributes. Whereas when you go to consciousness, the silence following Makara is what now? Nirgunam Brahma. So Akara stands for Sagunam Brahma, Ukara stands for Sagunam Brahma, Makara stands for Sagunam Brahma, whereas silence following Makara stands for Nirgunam Brahma, absolute reality, the pure awareness, pure consciousness is symbolized by the silence following Makaraha. This is how Omkaraha stands for Sagunam Brahma as well as Nirgunam Brahma. Therefore, nothing is outside of Omkaraha. This is one we have to understand. Here again, Omkaraha, how is it possible to equate Omkaraha to Brahma? How can the analysis of Omkara help us arrive at the nature of the Atma or Brahma? For this, again is an answer. Of course, already it's an answer. Still this further answer is given. The entirety of the world can be divided into two as the world of forms of objects and the world of names of objects. Names are all words. Shabda prapanchaha, shabdartha prapanchaha. Shabda prapanchaha, shabdartha prapanchaha. Shabda prapanchaha means the world of words, world of names. Shabda prapanchaha means the world of sounds, nothing but world of names, nama prapanchaha. Shabdartha prapanchaha means world of forms of objects, the meanings of the words. Shabdartha prapanchaha, vak prapanchaha, vagartha prapanchaha. Vak prapanchaha means the world of words. And vagartha prapancha means the world of forms of objects. Here, the word and its meaning cannot be separated. No meaning of the word can be separated from the word. You mean the form cannot be separated from the word denoting that form. Inseparable. Word and its meaning, the name and the object, the name and the form, is in, name is inseparable from the form, form is inseparable from the name. Word and its meanings are inseparable. Therefore, all the forms enjoy their existence only in the respective words. And words, here beautifully it is said, this Atma, the abstract reality implied with the term Atma, is the Adhishthanam for world of forms of objects. What is the truth of the truth of the world of forms of objects is Atma or Brahma. And Omkara is the Adhishthanam of the world of names. So, Shabda Prapanchasya Adhishthanam Omkaraha. Shabdartha Prapanchasya Adhishthanam Atma or Brahma. And Shabda Prapancha and Shabdartha Prapanchaha, the world of forms and names, the world of forms, the world of names are inseparable. Therefore, Brahma and Omkara also are inseparable. Which means what? Om and Brahma mean the same. Therefore, it is appropriate to say Om. Analysis of Omkaraha serves as a means of arriving at Brahman, the reality. Because they are one and the same. They are two different names, the standpoint of, from two different standpoints. It's exactly like saying, the person he is sitting in the class is a student, and when he goes out, and whatever role play you do, your name also changes. One person can be a father of a son, the standpoint of the son, he can be a son, the standpoint of his father, can be a teacher of the standpoint of his profession. In keeping the role play, the name also changes for the one person, one only person. One person alone is given different qualifications as father, as son, as a professor, etc. Similarly here, from the standpoint of the world of forms, here the name attributed to the reality is Brahma or Atma. From the standpoint of the world of names, the same name attributed to the reality is Om. So they are not two, the one and the same. Two different names of two different words implying the one and the same Satchid Atma, Satchid Brahma. Reality. This is made very clear here. So, again it is explained. So many explanations for this Omkara, we let us understand here. When you open the mouth to utter any word, the first sound comes is akara. Open a. Close the mouth. A. A. You can't say akara without opening your mouth. Try to say akara without opening your mouth. Say a. You cannot say akara without opening your mouth. The first sound that comes when you open your mouth is akara. When you close your mouth to keep quiet, therefore akara and makara. Okay? Again, akara is a guttural sound. Makara is a labial sound. All the consonants, vowels and all the consonants of edges of the entire world emerge from where? Only between this part. Whether you speak French or German, any other language, you can't say, no, our language comes from here. You can't say that. Any, all the languages have vowel sounds and consonant sounds. All of them emerge from here only. We can only say gutturals, palatals, labials, dentals. You know, we have to say that. So, cerebrals, nasals, yeah, nasals also. See, all these words, whether you speak Hebrew or whether you speak some other language, any other language, amazing. It is something very beautiful to know this. Therefore, all these sounds are between akara and makara. The wu stands for all the vowels and consonants which are produced in between akara and makara, guttural and the labial. Therefore, om, a, o, the combined becomes o, and om, this monosyllabic word stands for all the sounds. All sounds of all vowels and consonants of all languages. And all the sounds stand for all the letters. And all the letters stand for all the words, shabd words. And all the words denote, stand for the respective forms and functions. And all the objects, all the forms of all objects, the respective functions constitute the whole universe. Therefore, Om is equal to the whole. It's like saying A is equal to B, B is equal to C, C is equal to D, and A is equal to D. This is the meaning of this first mantra. Om it etad aksharam idam sarvam. I am not unfolding the mantra here. I am only reminding of the contents of the Sambandha Bhashyam. even though it's analysis of the first mantra also. Specifically, he takes and talks about it. This is Om. And here, so we understood Omkara as symbol of Sagunam Brahma, that is, gross universe, gross manifestation, subtle manifestation, and unmanifested universe. And also the Nirgunam Brahma as silence. Silence of Omkara stands for Nirgunam Brahma. Now we also understand Omkara is Adhishtanam for the entirety of the world of sounds, world of names. Shabda Prapanchasya Adhishtanam Omkaraha. And now we understand how all these words denoting any word denoting any form is not outside of Omkara. Nothing, any word is nothing but sounds, letters, and sound. All sounds are Om. Therefore, all the words are Om. All the objects are also Om only. And outside of the Om. One more thing we have to remember here. No form can exist independently without being denoted by a given name. Any form of any object must be definitely denoted by a given word. Is there any object of any form which is not denoted by any given word? A form cannot exist at all independently without being denoted by a given word. Subtle or gross, known or unknown, definitely every object, every form of any object must be denoted by a given word. Similarly, a word also cannot be there without a given, denoting a given form. A word without its meaning cannot hang by itself. So word also can be there only if there's a respective form. A form also can be only if there's a denoting respective word. So word and form, the name and form are inseparable. So what is a word? What is a word? Here to understand. The word denoting any given form is nothing but expression of the thought. Every object, any object obtaining any form enjoys its existence only in the word. There's no word means the object is as well as non-existent. Any form of any object enjoys its existence only in its given respective denoting word. And a word is nothing but an expression of thought. Word is expression of thought, isn't it? And what is the thought? Thought is manifestation of knowledge. Thought is a manifestation of knowledge. And the source of manifestation of knowledge is pure awareness, pure consciousness, or pure knowledge. This abstract formless reality, obtaining as the Swarupam of the experiencer knower, is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is the source of manifestation of knowledge. And his manifestation of knowledge is in the form of a thought, and the thought expressed is a word, word revealed. Revealed by the word is a form. Understand? So existence of a form is the word. Existence of the word is a thought. existence of thought is what? Pure Atma. Understand? This is how we have to understand. Om also stands for what now? The pure consciousness. Isn't it? The Atma. Therefore, the consciousness is in the form of existence of the entire manifested, unmanifested, subtle, gross universe. Consciousness is in the form of existence of the entirety of the universe. So existence of this Brahma is existence of the universe. The existence of Om is existence of the universe. And Brahma and Om are not two different things. The Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman, is in the form of existence of the forms. And that Brahma, which is in the form of existence of universe, is nothing but consciousness. Okay? Revealed by the silence of Omkaraha. Amatra Omkaraha. Silence Samatraha. Therefore what? It is appropriate to say that Om is Brahma. All that is here is Brahma. Om is Brahma. Therefore, all that is here is Om. So, analysis of Omkara definitely can help us arrive at the nature of the reality, Atma or Brahma. Is it clear? This fact is made very clear. Okay. Now, so here, and Om, okay, where do we get this idea? How do we understand that there is a monosyllabic expression, Om, which stands for the whole, which is adhishtanam of the world of words. Thereby, it becomes adhishtanam for the world of forms, names and functions also. Therefore, it is identical with Brahman. How do we understand this? What is the source of knowledge? What is the means of knowledge for us? What is source of information for us? This Om, this we get to know only through the Shruti Pramanam. Upanishad is the only source of understanding of this word Om, symbolizing Sagunam Brahma as well as Nirgunam Brahma. No other source. Therefore, to establish this fact again, what is conveyed here? Om ityetadaksharam idam sarvam. Idam sarvam om iti etad aksharam. All this is here is nothing but this monosyllabic word Om. For this revealed in this Upanishad. So for us, it is not something inferred. It is not, Kara being the whole is not arrived at through some inference. It is definitely understood from the Veda Shastram, Vedanta Shastram only. So to support this again, Shankara Bhagavatpada, in this portion, which as this portion said, no? The page number 301, he presents many quotations. Very important for you to understand. Why? Because which are all the important mantras where Omkaraha is mentioned. So Bhagavad Pada, here you see quotations. The quotation given here in the page number 302, I think. Page number 302. If you see, katham punaha omkara nirnayaha ஆத்மதத்துவ பிரதிபாயத்வம் பிரதிபத்யதே இதி உச்யதே. The Shankara Bhagavatpada himself gives the quotations from different Upanishads stating Omkaraha definitely serves as analysis of Omkaraha serves as a means of knowledge of the Atma, for which Omkaraha is mentioned only in the Upanishads, nowhere else. Therefore, he presents all the important mantra quotations. We're better to understand all these quotations. Okay? Because Om. First, let me make it very clear. Kathopanishad, 15th mantra of second section of the first chapter. Kathopanishad. What is the mantra? There, in the context of Nachiketas, talking to Lord Yama. So Lord Yama tells Nachiketas, I am going to teach you that absolute reality, which is in the form of Om. So the mantra, it comes like this, Om Ityetat, but I want to know the complete mantra here. Sarve Veda Yat Padama Mananti. சர்வே வேதாஹ யத் பதம் ஆமனந்தி தபாம்சி சர்வாணிச்ச யத் வதந்தி யத் இச்சந்தஹ பிரம்மச்சரியம் சரந்தி தத் தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேன பிரவக்ஷியே. தட் ஐ எம் கோயிங் டு, வாட் இஸ் தட் நவ்? சங்கிரஹேன பிரவீமி, நாட் பிரவக்ஷே, பிரவீமி. தத்து தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேன பிரவீமி ஓம் இத்யேதது. இட்ஸ் எ பியூட்டிஃபுல் மந்திரா. தட் இஸ் சர்வே வேதா யத் பதமா மனந்தி தபாம்சி சர்வாணி ச யத் வதந்தி யதிச்சந்தோ பிரம்மச்சரியம் சரந்தி தத் தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேன பிரவீமி ஓம் இத்யேதது. கட்டோபனிஷத், இன் கட்டோபனிஷத் ஆல்சோ ஓம்காரா இஸ் மென்ஷன்ட் ஆஸ் இட் இஸ் மென்ஷன்ட் இன் திஸ் மாண்டுக்கிய உபனிஷத். அண்ட் தென் ஹி ஆல்சோ கோஸ் டு அனதர் உபனிஷத். ஏததாலம்பனம், யா. So, Sarve Vedaha, first quotations, in one more, Etadalambanam, these two are from Kathopanishad. See, Sarve Vedaha, see in Kathopanishad it said, all the Vedas, Yat Padam Amananti, bow to that truth, which truth? Tapamsi Sarvanicha Yadvadanti. Sarvani Tapamsi. Even all the ascetics also, all the penances are also practiced, you know, for the purpose of what? Which? Wattening which? Yadichantaha, desiring to attain which? Even people strictly practice the discipline of celibacy. Yadichantaha brahmacharyam charanti. Again, Brahmacharya, people strictly follow the discipline of celibacy means here the commitment to the study of the Veda Shastra. See, remaining a celibate does not mean simply remaining unmarried. Of course, I mean not involving one's attention in any other enjoyment of pleasures, but placing one's mind totally in study of the Shastram. This is a Brahmacharyam. Which means, the Brahmachari's life is a focus, distraction free. Life, focused attention. The whole attention is only in the study, Shastra study. Therefore, Yadichantaha Brahmacharyam Charanti. So, desiring to attain which? even people strictly live the discipline of brahmacharyam, without any distraction, focus, attention. Tat padam te sangrahena bravimi. I tell you, I'm going to tell you that truth briefly to you. That truth is nothing but Om. Iti etat. Okay, Kathopanishad mantra, very beautiful mantra. You can refer to, later on you can go and refer to the mantra also. Why? Because, why Shankara Bhagat Pada in his Sambandha Bhasham quotes these mantras? Because if you go and search for Omkara elsewhere, who says Omkara stands for the truth? No, we inferred by ourselves. Because I open the mouth, ah comes, ah sound comes, you close the mouth, makara comes, so in between, oh. So therefore it stands for all three words. Who tells this? Where do you get this understanding? Nowhere. The only information, the source of information of Omkara is Veda Shastram, especially Upanishads. Om is all over the Veda. Om is discussed in the Upasana Kanda also as a symbol of meditation, an alambanam for meditating upon Sagunam Brahma. And the Om is very much here present and discussed in the Karnyana Kanda. Om is there in the Karma Kanda also, because uttering Omkara only they had to perform all rituals. Om is, the whole Veda has Omkara, Om Shabdaha. Om is very unique for us. Extra, that's why we say it's extra essence of all the mantras, we say. And this Om, suppose the question may arise, see, Shankara Bhagavad Pada made it very clear in this particular portion. How do we understand Om stands for Brahma? Om symbolizes the absolute reality. Isn't it? So, how do you understand it? The only source of information about Omkara is Shruti, Veda Shastra. Therefore, the same Veda Shastram should be referred to for further information, for us to reinforce the understanding, or to accept this Omkara being the symbol of the fact, truth. Same mantra you have to understand. It is not only in this one Upanishad, it is said in the Kathopanishad. And the same Kathopanishad is also said. Next, one more question he gives. Yetad alambanam. Yetad means this Om is Omkaraha, is what now? Aksharam. Yetad means Aksharam. This single syllable Om is an alambanam symbol for both Sagunam Brahma and Nirgunam Brahma. This also quotation is from Kathopanishad. Then one more example we have. Etadvai satya kama. So, etadvai satya kama. In fact, why we want to quote in the whole thing? The whole Prashnopanishad. The whole Prashnopanishad also, this guru who plays the Pippaladaha. Pippaladaha is the name of the guru, and Pippalada guru who addressing his disciple, Satyakama, he tells, Etadvai, you know, this aksharam, this single syllable Om is in fact everything. And he discusses Omkara there as a symbol of meditations, as a symbol for contemplation upon Nirgunam Brahma, as the truth of everything. In also Prashnopanishad, the whole Upanishad, here Pippalada Guru who talks about Omkara to his disciple Satyakamaha. This is another third example he gives. Then, in fact, we can say, this Taittiriya Upanishad, of course, we have Taittiriya Upanishad also, we have this Omkara Upasana mentioned. Then, this Maitri Upanishad, you can say, Om iti Atmanam Yunjita. Om iti Atmanam Yunjita. May you fix your mind, okay, on Om as the self. fix your mind on Om as His Self. Atmanam Om iti yunjita. This is another quotation. Then Taittiriya Upanishad, Om iti Brahma. In fact, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, even in while performing the ritual also, all the priests, you know, the Hota, Advaryuhu, Brahma, Udgata, the four priests, no? The Rigveda priest, Hota, Yajurveda priest, Advaryuhu, and Samaveda priest, Udgata, Atharvaveda priest, this Brahma. All four priests also, during the performance of a ritual, they talk to each other in the Yajnashala. They should not use any other word. Very difficult, isn't it? Understand. Even when you clearly say also, we don't have to understand. They have to use only Om for everything. Bring that ladle, Om. Pour this ghee, Om. Take this away, Om. Come here, Om. For everything they use Om. Om. Because Om iti Brahma. And then even when Brahma brought this universe to manifestation, utterance an Om. So Om iti Brahma. So Taittiriya Upanishad. Then one more Upanishad. She says, Chandogya Upanishad. Omkaraye Vedam Sarvam. Omkaraye Vedam Sarvam. Omkaraye Vedam Sarvam. Very important to remember this. Only the specific quotations. It is not possible to memorize all the Upanishad mantras. At least these mantras should remember, because these are the mantras which serve as source of information about Omkara. Isn't it? Om Omkara Yeva Idam Sarvam. Chandogya Upanishad, of course, Bhadanik Upanishad also we have. Everywhere Omkara is discussed in every Upanishad. Omkara eva idam sarvam, again same, idam sarvam omkara eva. Means what? Idam sarvam atma eva. Idam sarvam brahma eva. All that is here is Brahma. See, Brahman is not any forms. The abstract reality implied with the term Brahman or atma is not any of the forms. But all forms are Brahma. Omkaraha is not any word, but all the words are Om. Therefore, all the words are Om, all the forms are Brahma, all words and forms are inseparable. Therefore, Brahman and Omkara are inseparable, they are one and the same. Consciousness, existence. Okay? That is the idea. Omkaraha eva idam sarvam ityadi shrutibhyaha. Okay. Now, having said this much, now finally the Acharya wants us to understand. He gives rajvadihi eva sarpadi vikalpas padaha. The same page, 310. Panology's book, yeah, same, 302, same, the same, just below that. Rajvadihi iva sarpadi vikalpas padaha. See, Rajuhu sarpadi vikalpasya aspadaha. Sarpaha. For the false snake which is perceived, what is the aspadaha? Aspadaha means location. Location means existence. Okay? Location, not something inside and outside, not separable. You can say, the floor is the aspada, location for all of us to sit. That's the different. What I'm saying, water is the location of the ocean. When you say, Jalam Samudrasya Aspadam. Existence. Existence is Aspada here. For here also, what is the aspadaha, the location, the existence of the false snake Rajjuhu, rope. Just as rope is the location, the existence, adhishtanam, aspadaha should be understood as the adhishtanam. Adhishtana means the support, the existence. The false snake has no existence outside of the rope. Rajjuhu is the aspadaha for the sarpaha. Not real snake, the false snake, mistaken snake. Similarly, he has rajvadihi iva sarpadi vikalpasya. Vikalpa means effect. Okay. Then, advayaha atma paramarthaha san pranadi vikalpaspadaha. Now, all the objects, now advaya atma, the non-dual self, advaya atma means the non-dual reality, consciousness, implied them atma, which is the paramarthaha, absolute reality. The non-dual reality, consciousness, implied with them atma, the absolute reality, paramarthaha, is the aspadaha, coexistence, okay, locus of all the objects, all the forms of all objects, such as prana, etc. How you can say, this wave is water, that wave is water, that wave is water? You have to say here, time is Brahma, space is Brahma, earth is Brahma, air is Brahma, water is Brahma, living beings are Brahma, non-living things are Brahma, mobile beings are Brahma, immobile beings are Brahma, sentient, insentient are Brahma, animate, inanimate are Brahma, all functions are Brahma, all actions are Brahma, all results of actions are Brahma, the laws which determine the results of actions are Brahma, the experience of paths of opposites are Brahma, pain is reality, pleasure is Brahma, success is Brahma, failure is Brahma, everything is reality. So aspamita adhishtan, where does any experience exist? Not outside of Brahma. Is it clear? This real proper Omkara analysis now you're doing. Everything is Brahma. Pain, pleasure, success, failure, loss, gain, honor, desire. Everything is Brahma. Here, Brahma means paramarthaha, the absolute reality, the pure consciousness, implied with term Atma, is the aspadaha, existence of all the objects such as prana, etc., which constitute the whole universe. Two examples he given now. Now third he goes to. His tatha sarvaha api vak prapanchaha. Now he sarvaha api vak, the entirety of the world of words. Similarly, omkaraha, he says what now? Sarva api vak prapanchaha. Pranadi Atma Vikalpa Vishaya Omkara Yeva. The Omkara is the Adhishtanam Aspadaha for the entirety of the world of words. Understand? Now when you say, okay, Omkara is the Adhishtanam or the world of words, Brahman is Adhishtanam for the world of forms, are they different? No. Words and forms. Words are names denoting the forms. Is it clear? So words and forms are inseparable. Your Brahman and Om are inseparable. So Om is another name for Brahma or Atma. Which means here, the false snake is mithya, rope is satyam. With reference to rope snake, false snake is mithya, rope is satyam. Similarly, with reference to the world of forms, all the forms are mithya. Atma Brahmane, Satchidatma is Satyam. With reference to world of words, the words are mithya, Om is Satyam. Because Om symbolizes silence, the consciousness. Brahma is a word implying existence. Satyam. What is Satyam? In these three parts, you have to understand. Rope is Satyam with reference to rope snake. Snake is Mithya. With reference to world of forms, this Paramartha Atma is Satyam. Forms are Mithya. With reference to world of words, words are Mithya. Omkara is Satyam. This is Om. This much he says about it. With this, only if he say do this, I can say Sambandha Bhashma is completed. Otherwise it's not complete. Okay. So, therefore, it is said, Sakacha Atma Surupameva Tad Abhidayakatvat. You know, this Omkara has the status of being the word implying Brahma. So again he says this, no word exists independent of the form, no form exists independent of the word. They're inseparable. Therefore, Om and Brahma are one and the same. That's what he says, and he concludes and saying the words are mithya. So nama prapanchaha mithya, rupa prapanchaha mithya. It means the world of forms, names and functions of it include nama, rupa, karma. Namarupa karmakyam jagatu mithya. Mithya means is only appearance of Brahma. Brahman alone is appearing in the form of forms, names and functions. So from the standpoint of Brahman, implementum Omkara, there is no form, there is no name, there is no function. You have to see everything as Brahma. Everything as Omkaraha. Sarvam, that's why the Om Itad Aksharam Idam Sarvam, that he wants to complete, conclude that, saying that. Therefore, and one more quotation he gives, very most popular quotation, you must have heard from every acharya who comes here. Yeah? It must have, you can't forget, even in sleep, you were woken up, you say, Vacharam Namadeyam Vikaro, you can say that. Most popular quotation, Vacharambhanam Vikaro Namadheyam. Vacharambhanam Vikaro Namadheyam. What does it mean? I'm going to leave it in English, okay? Don't worry. Namadheyam means name. Name is a word. What is the name of any object? Table or chair or window or door. All these names are nothing but words. Names are words. These words are non-substantial. Words are non-substantial. Why? Because the forms are also non-substantial. These words are nothing but. All the forms are non-substantial because they are revealed by what? The words which are non-substantial. The words are nothing but which remain on your one's tongue. Vak ar arambanam, vach arambanam means the words are nothing but simply on your tongue. Produced by what? Your organ of speech. That's all. Vach arambanam namadeyam. Vikaraha, vikaro namadheyam, the forms are words hanging on your tongue, that's all. Which means they do not have any independent existence. this is where you have to understand a word denoting a form is nothing but expression of thought. If there's no thought, no word can come out. Whether you write, you speak it out or not, word to think or to speak, to write, a word is an expression of thought only. If there's no thought, no word can come out. Isn't it? So, the form has no existence at all independently without the word. So, form is dependent on the word. If I want to say, tell you, please bring that. That means what? I show you something specific, that, then the word I am using, that. The word that becomes very clear for you. Please bring that when you say that is the word indicating a specific object. I simply say, please bring that, without showing anything. Please bring that. You cannot bring anything. Unless you specifically say, bring me a cup of water, bring me some book, or bring me a pen. Bring that means that doesn't make it very clear. Therefore, a word is very important. Therefore, there's no object. No form can exist independently without the word. It is word alone lends existence to the form. No word, form loses its status of being existent. And where does the word? Word cannot exist at all if there is no thought. Thought has to arise first before the word becomes expressed. Isn't it true or not? You may express, you may not express sometimes. But still, the word has to come out means thought must arise. That's why we are not speaking in deep sleep state. You know that? Still you are blabbering means some other problem is there. Okay? If you are deep in sleep, then you do not speak. The one thing is organ of speech is non-functional. Not only because of that, because mind itself is non-functional. No thought rises. So, word presupposes thought. And thought is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. If there is no rising of knowledge, manifestation of knowledge, then there cannot be thought also. There will be in deep sleep state, no thought. There is no thought at all in deep sleep state. Why there is no thought in sleep? All thoughts may resolve. All the thoughts have been resolved. The sukshma vrittis, the thought pertaining to ignorance and bliss. Otherwise, no other thought. The thought pertaining to emotions, thoughts pertaining to knowledge, understanding, perception, nothing is there. No thought. That's why we say mind is blank in deep sleep state. This blankness of mind is very important teaching. I'm repeating. The blankness of mind means what? Thoughtless state. Thought means all the thoughts remain resolved. There's stillness. There's no disturbance. Thoughts do not rise here. There's no disturbed mind. There's a resolved mind. Thought, no thoughts. And there's no thought means there's no manifestation of knowledge. If there is manifestation of knowledge, thoughts will rise. Only then there is something called cognition, knowledge, possible. If there is knowledge, cognition, then the word can become expressed. The word is expressed, form becomes denoted. The form comes into the manifestation. The form comes into manifestation, the purpose gets served. So the purpose is possible only if there is a form. Let me go and sit there. Is there a chair? I can sit down. That's a different thing. Here is a chair. Please come and sit. If you tell me, this the purpose, the sitting, there's no form for me, for it to serve the purpose of having somebody sitting on it. So purpose, the karma, the purpose or function is possible only if there is a form. It's dependent. Karma, the function, purpose dependent on the form. Without chair, how can you sit? Okay, sit down. At least you're sitting down, isn't it? Without car, how can you ride? Drive. So any function, the purpose, go somewhere. The purpose has to be served. Serve means you depend on the form, some form. Either bus or car or chair, some cycle, something you need. Or walking. So any purpose, any function is associated with the given form. The form is dependent on the word. And the word can get expressed only if there is thought. Thought can rise only if there is manifestation of knowledge. And manifestation of knowledge is possible because there is power of knowing. The power of knowing has its adhishtanam, the reality. Brahma, Atma. Therefore, ultimately, we say what? Brahman is absolutely independent of the world of functions, forms, words, thoughts, knowledge. Isn't it? That Brahman is Atma, Paramartha, absolute reality, implied by the term Atma or Brahma. This will become very clear. Therefore, words are mithya, forms are mithya, functions are mithya. The whole jagat objective universe can be reduced to non-substantial forms, names and functions. The only substance which lends existence to all these forms, names and functions is the abstract formless reality consciousness implied by the term Brahman or Atma, which is symbolized by silence of Omkara. Therefore, what we have to say? Vacharam vikaro namadheyam. It means there is just it is again said, words are mithya. That's the idea. Tadasyedam vacha tantya namabihi damabihi sarvam sitam sarvam hi idam namani. The whole world is nothing but names. Means unsubstantial. It means the world cannot be counted as a second reality. Mithya. Words are mithya. Words are mithya means, words means it includes forms and functions also. So mithya. The only satyam which alone is in the form of these forms, names and functions, the world of forms, names and functions is Brahma Atma, which is Om. Om is Brahma. That is the main teaching here in this he presents. So he takes really time to talk about it in his Sambandha Bhasha before even entering into the text, because he introduces the very first mantra here in this context. Okay, so here, so all the sounds, the following example is a very important example. All the sounds are like the strings, or we can say threads. All the sounds are like the threads. The thread also can be used, isn't it? Thread can be used to tie something. You want to tie mala, garland for five. I think only mala, okay? The thread can be used to tie garlands. You can thread, tie mala, take flowers and tie, make malas, garlands. Again, the same threads again, when you further, bring them, to put them together, you can make thick ropes, much thicker, stronger ropes, which also can be what? Used to tie something else. The rope, thicker, stronger ropes can be used to tie even cattle or tie one big bundle, etc. Some tiny threads can be used to tie garlands. Threads alone can be converted into big, stronger ropes. Like this, sounds are here like the threads. And the words are like the ropes. With which you tie things. Similarly, with the whole transaction in this world is only with these threads of sounds and ropes of words. Worldly transaction is all in words. Without words, without shabdas, words, what transaction can happen in the world? What interaction can happen in the world? What experiment can happen in the world? All expressions of knowledge. Every word is expression of knowledge. That's why Saraswati is called Vag Devi, goddess of learning. Goddess of speech is goddess of learning, goddess of knowledge. Because everything, any learning we have, do how? Only words. All knowledge is in the form of words only for us. That's why any book we can't walk on. Printed words. Because of reverence is because all knowledge. Knowledge is not the words, but the words are knowledge. So here, what the last sentence? Tadasya idam vacha tantya. Namabihi damabihi sarvam sitam. Namabihi damabihi sarvam sitam. Everything in this world is now tied, happening with, because of this strings of sounds and ropes of words. Whole transaction happens in the world only because of the words. And all those words are Om. That Om is Brahma. All those words denoting forms are Om, and the form denoted by the words are Brahma, or Om is Brahma. So it is appropriate to use, to equate Omkara to Brahman. The first question raised, that is raised, and the answer is given here. Okay. Sarvam hidam namani iti shrutibhyaha. All this is only words. Okay. With this, so sambandha bhasham, to some extent we have covered. Is it clear now? Until this year? This is the only with this topic, this Omkar Nirnayaha, is it? Sambandha Bhashyam becomes completed. Even though he does not discuss everything of first chapter, but he introduces this and continues. Now, before entering into the actual, tomorrow I'll definitely start from the 9th karika of the first chapter. We have to 29 karikas. So tomorrow we must try to go faster, because if we remember the subject matter, Sambandha Bhashyam, it's enough. It's as we remember the whole teaching what we have done until now. Now, if we enter into the first portion, there again, what we have already discussed here, as part of the Omkara Upasanam, the Omkara discussion, and the first chapter, the Atma is introduced in the second mantra. This is as part, continue, I'm continuing with my teaching today. The Sambandha Bhashyam discussion is over. What is discussed is completed now. If we think of Sambandha Bhashyam Mandukya Prakaranam, you must remember only these are the factors. These things, you remember. So, Atma is introduced in second mantra, as Chatushpad Atma. Atma Even the Atma has no legs or foot. It's a deep Chatushpad. Atma had four-legged Atma, okay? Atma, he said, Atma is of four aspects. So, four aspects means Prathama Padaha of the Atma, Dvitiya Padaha, Tritiya Padaha, and Chaturtha Padaha. Or Turiya Padaha, Chaturtha Padaha, four aspects. Why? Because Atma is presented as the Atma of four aspects. Because Omkara, it is Atma here is likened to Omkara here. And Om also is said to be having four aspects. So, Akara aspect of Omkara is equivalent to Prathama Pada of the Atma, first Pada of the Atma. So, if you remember what Akara is, then you know what Prathama Pada is. Prathama Padaha of the Atma is nothing but Vishvaha and Virat. You can say the entirety of the gross manifestation experienced in the waking state involving Vishvaha and Virat forms the first Prathama Pada of the Atma, which is symbolized by Akaraha. Is it clear for all of you? Because many of you are very, very new. Is it clear? Am I very fast? Very slow I am. Very, very slow. Okay. Too slow I am. Mainly for sake of those who are very new here. So, Akaraha is equivalent to Prathama Padaha, first aspect of the Atma. Which is Sagunam Brahma or Sagunaha Atma. Why Sagunaha or Sagunam Brahma I say? It is knowledge, the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma alone is appearing as the gross world of forms, names and functions. Just as water alone is in the form of the ocean full of waves, it is this abstract reality, consciousness existence implied with the term Atma alone is in the form of forms, names and functions experienced in the waking state. When you include forms, names and functions, we call Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam means what? Seeing the reality with the form, name and function is saying it is Sagunam Brahma. Is it clear? Sagunam means nothing but Sagunam means with the form, name and function. Without form, name and function, pure, it is awareness, pure knowledge, pure consciousness, Atma. Water with a given form is ocean. With a given form, name and function is ocean. Water with the given form, name and function is wave. Similarly, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness with the given forms, names and functions experience the waking state is what? Prathama Padaha of Atma, Sagunaha Atma or Sagunam Brahma, which is Karyam Brahma. Karyam is what? It's also effect. And this Prathama Pada is equivalent to Akaraha. Now we see Dvitiya Padaha of the Atma. Dvitiya Padaha of the Atma. Second aspect of Atma means the same, the awareness, consciousness associated with the subtle manifestation. Subtle forms, names and functions experienced in the dream state involving Taijasaha and Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. Is equivalent to Ukaraha, Ukara of Omkara. This is Dvitiya Padaha. So Dvitiya Padaha is equivalent to Ukaraha. And this is also Sagunam Brahma. Why Sagunam Brahma or Sagunaha Atma? Ukaraha is equivalent to ஹிரண்யகர்ப்பஹ தைஜசஹ த்விதிய பாத ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா சகுணம் பிரம்ம. பிகாஸ் ஹியர் ஆல்சோ ஆத்மா தி கான்சியஸ்னஸ் அவேர்னஸ் இஸ் வித் சட்டில் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் நேம்ஸ் அண்ட் ஃபங்க்ஷன்ஸ். வித் சட்டில் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் நேம்ஸ் அண்ட் ஃபங்க்ஷன்ஸ் இஸ் சகுணம். சகுணம் பிரம்ம அகெயின் காரியம் பிரம்ம. வை இட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ இஃபெக்ட் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன். மேனிஃபெஸ்டட் மீன்ஸ் காரியம். கிராஸ் அண்ட் சட்டில். சட்டில் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் இஸ் ஆல்சோ காரியம். கிராஸ் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் ஆல்சோ இஸ் காரியம். காரியம் பிரம்ம. தென் த திருத்தீய பாதா ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா. திருத்தீய பாதா ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா இஸ் நத்திங் பட் அன்மேனிஃபெஸ்டட், அன்டிஃபரன்ஷியேட்டட். The same pure awareness, consciousness associated with, identified with, unmanifested, undifferentiated world of forms, names and functions is Tritiya Pada of the Atma, involving Prajna and Antaryamishwaraha. Prajna Antaryamishwaraha. This is also what now? Antaryamishwaraha is also the Tritiya Pada of the Atma, involving Prajna Antaryamishwara, is also what? Sagunam Brahma only. Sagunam Brahma. But Karanam Brahma. Causal. Because the everything remains in causal condition, potential condition. Therefore, Karanam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma, Karanam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma, Karyam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma, Karyam Brahma. And which is equivalent to Makara of the Omkara. So, Tritiya Pada of the Atma is equivalent to Makara of the Omkara. These are we see how Om stands as a symbol of Sagunam Brahma. Now, சதுர்த்தா பாதா துரிய பாதா ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா இஸ் வாட் நிர்குண ஆத்மா. நிர்குணம் பிரம்ம ஃபார்ம்லெஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட்லெஸ். ஃபார்ம்லெஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட்லெஸ் மீன்ஸ் நிர்குணம் பிரம்ம. நிர்குணம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? மைனஸ் ஃபார்ம்ஸ். பியூர் அவேர்னஸ், பியூர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் minus forms, names and functions. Nirgunam Brahma. This is the Chaturtha Padaha of the Atma. Here, knower known divisions are not here in Nirgunam Brahma. The Taijasa Prajna, the Taijasa Hiranyagarbheshara, Prajna Antaryamishara, Vishwa Virat, this nowhere known division, duality is not there in pure consciousness. Differences are not there. Divisions are not there. Attributes are not there. Forms, names and functions are not there. Pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge, the formless abstract reality, attributeless, formless, nameless. The pure consciousness is the fourth aspect of the Atma, Turiya Pada of the Atma, Chaturtha Pada of the Atma, which is equivalent to Amatraha of Omkara. It is silence following O Makara while uttering the Om. Silence follows Makara. Every time you say Om, 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 in between two Oms, what is there? The silence following Makara is, Makara stands for pure consciousness. Silence is pure consciousness, pure awareness. Therefore, it is Nirgunam Brahma. This is how Omkara becomes symbol for Sagunam Brahma as well as Nirgunam Brahma. Attributeless. Nirgunam Brahma are free from all divisions and differences. Turiya Pada of Atma is equal to Amatra Omkaraha. Pure consciousness. This is also discussed later on. When you say this abstract reality, formless reality, the pure consciousness is the symbolized by silence of Omkara and is said to be Chaturtha Pada of the Atma. How is it arrived at? Through the analysis of three states of experience. This Atma Swarupam is discussed. Atma is introduced in the second verse, second mantra. That Atma introduced the second mantra is further inquired into. The nature of the Atma is, the inquiry in nature of the Atma is done through the analysis of three states of experience. Because we have to understand, how does the Upanishad, and how does the mantras, a Mandukya Upanishad, mantra of Mandukya Upanishad, how does it present the nature of the Atma? The inquiry in the nature of the Atma is discussed through the analysis of three states of Atraya Vichara Dvara Atma Swarupa Pratipatihi. Avastatraya Vichara Dvara Atma Swarupa Pratipatihi. Understanding of the nature of the Atma through the analysis of three states of experience. Okay? This is the subject matter of this teaching here. Then, only once we quickly do the analysis and we'll before we end the class. Last important lesson. Because we will not be analyzing again and again later on. So here, from the standpoint of every individual, from the standpoint of individual, means as individual human being, having endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, as an ignorant individual, endowed the body, mind, sense complex, every individual refers to one's own self as I. Any individual refers to oneself as what? I. Then its first person singular pronoun is used by every individual to refer to one's own self. Even though there's so many pronouns are there, whether the person who refers to oneself is a male member or a female member, all the human beings use only this one singular pronoun, first singular pronoun, to refer to one's own self. There's so many other pronouns, he, she, it, that. All those pronouns are used to refer to, even including also, second person also. Anything, anybody other than one's own self. So this I, the first person singular pronoun I, refers to definitely not the experienced object, not the known object, refers only to the knower experiencer. I, the first person singular pronoun used by every individual, referred to one's own self, refers to only the knower experiencer, not any of the known experienced objects. Okay. Therefore, it's very clear for every individual that I, the knower, am distinct from the known world of objects. Very clear. We never mistake the subject for the object. We never mistake the knower for the known. Knower is distinct from the known. Therefore, the known objective universe is inclusive of one's own body, mind, sense complex also. I'm not doing Dhrigdrishti Vivek, okay? It's too simple. It is known objective universe is inclusive of one's own body, mind, sense complex. Because one's own body, mind, sense complex also comes under the category of the known only. Therefore, there's an ID knower and there is a known objective universe, objective world, inclusive of my own body, mind, sense complex. Is it clear? Reduce everything into two, as knower and the known, experiencer and the experienced. And this experience, what is experienced in the waking state, is not the same as what is experienced in the dream state. And what is experienced in the deep sleep state is not the same as what is experienced in the waking and the dream. Therefore, we say we do go through three states of experience. And those three states of experience, you say avasthaptrayam, a set of three states of experience, are nothing but three states of the mind. In fact, we have to understand the mind itself in terms of experience. The mind is very subtle. Where is the mind? As children, we show, this is the head, these are eyes, this is the nose. Which is mind? Can you show? Mind is very, very, very subtle. We understand the mind itself in terms of its the experience, state of experience. And the three states of experience are nothing but three states of mind. So we can understand mind is also subject to change, because mind doesn't remain only one state. There's not one state of mind. The three states of mind, which means constantly, continuously, the three states of mind are undergoing changes. That is how we're able to have three states of experience. So, mind is also object of knowledge. Because three states of experience are known. The experience is known. The experience also is experienced. The experience also is object of experience. Not only the experienced world, the experience is also experienced. Understand? Three states of mind are three states of experience. That's why what is experienced, the waking state, the object of experience is the gross universe, the gross world of objects. They are perceived through the sense organs. When in waking state, there's knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of the existence of the world, the experience is happening. And I, the self, am very much here as an experiencer of the world. The world is object of experience from the standpoint. So I am the knower, experiencer with reference to this world. Also in the dream also, the dream is another state of experience where completely what is experienced, the waking state, is not at all there. In dream, the gross universe is as good as non-existent for the one who is in dream. There's no gross universe for him. Once you fall asleep, the universe disappears. Completely. Identity changes. No more identity with the gross body. No more identity with the activities. No more physical activities. No more associated with the gross universe. This world disappears completely. So all our pains and pleasure we experience in the waking state, okay, only in the waking state. There's no more problem. We do not go through the pain of going to the problems of waking state in dream. However sorrowful person you are, or a problem person you are, whatever problems you have in life, still all those problems resolve in the dream state. Is it clear? So dream is, in dream also, you can say, I, the experiencer, am very much there. Experience of the dream state, dream world. If I am not here as experiencer in dream, dream state of mind, then it is not possible for me to recollect my dream experience and talk about it. Whether dreams are vivid dreams or forgotten dreams or unclear dreams or vague dreams, doesn't matter. Still, it's possible for one to recollect. Sometimes somebody came and told me this morning, I had too many dreams, but I don't know, I'm not very clear. I don't remember what I dreamed, but I had dreams. And again, dream is this world of the gross universe experience, the waking state is objectively real. I see light, all of you see light. Isn't it? It is common for all of us. If it's objectively real, world is the world experience in the waking state. Whereas dream world, what I experience is only real for me. My dream world is not real for you. Isn't it? Real. You don't experience what I experience. The dream is very subjective. Dream experience is subjective. Universe, dream world, subjective world, subjective experience. So dream experience is subjectively real. Dream experience is subjectively real experience. Whereas waking experience is experience obtaining the waking state is objectively real experience. Vyavaharika satyam. Whereas a dream experience is what? Subjectively real experience. It is pratibhasikam satyam. Understand now? Satyam. Now in deep sleep state, there's experience of non-experience of this world of subtle or gross objects. Neither gross world is experienced, nor subtle world of objects is experienced. There's no experience of any world. Then the gross and subtle worlds remain unmanifested, undifferentiated as the resolved power of knowing. The resolved power of knowing is said to be what? Avidya or ajnanam. The total ignorance. So what is the object of experience in deep sleep state? Total ignorance. And when there's total ignorance, I said in the very first class, it is not possible to have any identity. Because total ignorance means not knowing one's own existence. Therefore, not knowing the existence of the world. Ignorance being total, identity is not possible. The identity is not there. Understand? In total ignorance, there's non-identity. There is experience of bliss. Therefore, what is an object of experience in deep sleep state? Total ignorance and bliss. Bliss is also object of experience. When there's total ignorance, when there's no identity, the experience of bliss, there is non-dual experience. Non-dual experience means there's no subject-object division. You are there just yourself without any attributes. Remember, Sarvan Viseshan Pitva. Remember that verse. Having resolved all the attributes, no attributes means you are just yourself in sleep. Whenever you are just yourself, that is Advaita Bhavaha. Unfortunately, when you have Advaita Anubhavaha, it's Advaita Bhavaha. Advaita Bhavaha means remaining non-dual. You are just yourself without knower known individual world duality. When this Advaita Anubhavaha, Advaita Bhavaha. Only problem is you do not know that you are non-dual reality. Okay? In knowledge, When you know yourself, you are non-dual reality. The ignorant person who does not know the self, for him, there is no but the person who is jnani, even when he is asleep, he knows, I am always Brahma. So, in deep sleep state, there is Advaita Anubhavaha. Means the experience of everything being non-dual. Experience of the self being non-dual. But you don't know that you are. It's also object of experience, which means there is experience in all three states of experience. And experience is one. The states of mind, the states of experience are discontinuous. One has to discontinue for the other to come. Other state of experience to come. So the states of experience are discontinuous. They are subject to change. But variable, in all these variable, changing, discontinuous states of experience, what is continuously, changelessly, invariably present is experiencer. Same experiencer. As Vishvaha, as Taijasaha, as Pragyaha. And the experiencer is abstract reality. Experiencer is formless reality. Experiencer, distinct from the state of experience, state of mind, is abstract formless reality, subtlest reality, which cannot be perceived, which cannot be conceived, which cannot be described. Can you conceive how it is? Can you describe? No. So inconceivable, imperceptible, achintyaha, aprameyaha. You learned in Bhagavad Gita beautiful words. Aprameyaha, imperceptible. Achintyaha, inconceivable. Indescribable. So, vacham agocharam. That abstract formless reality, the experiencer is the formless reality. There is no experiencer at all other than the formless reality. Why do we give this title as experiencer knower? Because of the nature of knowing. This abstract formless reality is of the nature of being conscious, knowing, therefore is implied with the term experiencer knower. From the standpoint of the state of experience, not the standpoint of reality. Is it clear? So from the standpoint of the light, you cannot call light the illuminator. Why? If you ask light, why do you illumine? Light, I don't illumine. Light will say what? I don't illumine. Means illumining is not an action. Mere presence of light illumines everything. Because that's nature of the light. Similarly, this abstract reality, formless reality, reality is, and it's of the nature of knowing, of the nature of being conscious, it's of the nature of being aware, therefore the abstract reality is implied by this term knowledge in terms of its nature of knowing. Reality is implied with the term consciousness in terms of its nature of being conscious. It's implied with the term awareness in terms of its nature of being aware. No word can be used otherwise. Only in terms of its nature of being conscious is implied with the term consciousness. But this abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness or awareness or knowledge alone, is the swarupam of the knower. Reality is not the knower, but there's no knower experience other than this reality. Only knower appearing in all the minds. Okay, is implied by the term Atma or Brahma, which is the silence of Omkara. Therefore, what? Om ityetadaksharam idam sarvam. The whole world of subtle forms, names and functions, unmanifest, undifferentiated. Where the world of forms, names and functions are differentiated or undifferentiated. Manifested or unmanifested. Gross or subtle. Doesn't exist outside of the light of knowledge. Light of the consciousness, the reality. Therefore, all that is here is Om. Today's class is over. So tomorrow we'll continue from where we left. Okay? Today the Sambandha Bhashyam is over. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate.